This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the land of Grand University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fifth day of October 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll take up the cash grain segment. That with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Along the way, I'll update you on the completion of the negotiations in Atlanta on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And we'll do a quick look as well at the weather forecast. We'll talk with the guys at Earth Risk Technology in Chicago as we close out our half hour together here on Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check up with what happened at the CME Group in Chicago for this Monday. December contract in the corn pit again today, up 4.25 cents at $3.93.5. The March at 4.03 3/4, up 4.25. The May up 4 cents. It finished at 4.10. July 4.25 higher. September up 4.5. December of next year up 4.5 as well. Settlement price there at $4.14.5. November beans a dime higher at $8.84.25. January following suit up 10 cents at $8.88.25. And the March at $8.91.25, 9.25 higher. May futures up 9.25. July up 9.25. August up 8.75. Next year's November beans 9 cents higher at $8.91.75. Bean meal in the October up $2.50 at $3.01, and the bean oil at $28.48 up 64 cents. Soft red winter wheat in Chicago 2.25 higher at $5.15.5. July at $5.28.5 up 3.25, and the hard red July at $5.37 2.25 cents higher. Live cattle futures from Chicago are currently trading up $121.75. They're down $1.32.5 at this hour. December at $129.85, or $1.52.5 lower. October feeders are down $2 and a nickel at $177.45. November's at $173, or down $1.42.5. And lean hogs in the October 45 cents lower. They're now trading at $72.90 for 100 pounds. December contract is $64.70, 67.5 cents lower. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Join us online anytime you'd like. You can always listen to our programs at willag.org. Wouldn't right now in your combine be a great time to test out the Bluetooth and see if it really works? Connect those two things together. Listen to any of our ag programming you'd like.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Here's what the outside markets are trading like at this hour. Crude oil, $46.35 a barrel, 81 cents higher. Ethanol in the October at $1.61.2. That's up 3.7 cents per gallon. Speaking of gallons, gasoline on the wholesale price, the RBOB up 4.7 cents at this hour at $1.38.9. And the heating oil or diesel fuel is about 3.2 cents higher at $1.55.1. Natural gas up 2 cents at $2.45.3. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 16,664 is up 285 points. The U.S. dollar at 96.25 is up 0.278. And gold futures on the afternoon are now trading $1,135.25 per troy ounce. That's down $1.35 at the time. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A high today of 73 degrees and a northeast wind at about 8 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a low of 56. Again, that northeast wind at about 7. And Tuesday will continue with the northeast wind at 6 to 8 and run to a high of 76 degrees under sunny skies. Tuesday night, those skies will be partly cloudy with a low of 55. Wednesday, sunny and 78. A light north wind. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and 56. Thursday, a little bit of a change, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy and a high of 80. Thursday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 56. And Sunday, just a 66-degree top and sunny skies. supplies.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon, the very first, fifth day of October 2015. On the line is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to take up the trade in Chicago. A nice little up day we had there at the CME Group. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Can you tell me about it, please, Kurt?
Yeah, sure. It's kind of speculative-driven. The outside markets were higher. Higher world vegetable oil market. We saw higher world stock equities. So it gave the trade confidence to be a buyer. Crude oil was higher. Our Dow was higher. Bonds down over a full point. It's going into midday. The commodity funds were buyers of about 4,000 beans. At the end of the day, they said they were buyer about 7,000 beans. They were estimated to be net short about 35,000 contracts. So, trying to cover some short positions here. And idea is that we could see some additional Chinese purchases announced here as we get towards the end of the week. Also, at the end of the weekend here, we're expected to see the monthly supply-demand report with the stocks being lowered last week on that quarterly grain stocks report. Idea is that we can be a little smaller than that 450 million bushel area. Storm on the East Coast, I think, gave some buying interest. A lot of fields in the southeast United States, it's been getting hammered with moisture, particularly cotton sprouting. There's some beans to be harvested that's going to take a few days to dry out. So I think just the coverage of the weekend rains down in that area there also sort of stimulates some buying interest.
Can you talk about the normal seasonals at this time of the year and what impact they might have on either corn or soybeans, or both if you prefer?
Okay, the most popular, of course, is the gentlemen don't trade the short side in the grain market past Columbus Day holiday. You look at a long-term seasonal chart. The majority of the time, not all the time, majority of the time, we have some type of fall low and we see some recovery in the year end, particularly middle of December. I don't think we're just going to run sharply higher out of the shooting through here. I think part of the buying's anticipation, we'll see some latecomers want to buy this thing here on anticipation that we've got a low in place and we can go higher. But I kind of think that this thing could probably zig and zag for a little bit, but over time, we can try to drift lower here as we go into year end. Now, this is not an endorsement for those listening and say, well, this guy's kind of positive, I'm going to hang on a store. I think you'll be in a position to get a good return on the grain stored to elevator on storage, but to expect more of that might kind of hard to expect more of that unless we see some weather problems in the southern hemisphere develop. But the seasonality is to get a fall low in and to recover going into year-end time.
Okay, so at this point, it appears, at least for soybeans, that the basis has been fairly strong, actually really quite strong, for the fall season in our part of the world. I'm not sure about the whole of the Midwest. Producers probably are thinking, hey, this is something unusual. You just warned them not to take it as a bullish message, but I suspect that they might be starting to feel pretty good about their soybeans that they might want to store rather than sell.
Yeah, we're seeing better than expected yields. Basis has been strong, but we got to remember we're seeing end users take some downtimes coming into this harvest. Glad guys sold their beans there last fall, last winter, and some of these guys were having a hard time getting beans to crush. And basis was real strong coming into fall, and it broke as the harvest picked up. But I think the end user's under the gun in here to gather a little bit of inventory here before the beans get locked up and put in the bin, because their next chance to buy will be after the first year if they don't get them bought here off the combine this fall. Also, too, Asia has just not booked a whole lot of new crop beans compared to past history. Now, new crop shipments, you know, we just started the marketing year, or, you know, getting off to a good start. But ideas are that if Asia is going to be a buyer here, they need to, you know, go ahead and get these purchases met here in the cash market. Because once we get past first of the year, they'll start having their main focus on the southern hemisphere. So we're in a little bit of a time window in through here. There's not a whole lot of carrying the bean complex. When you look at the Novembers at this 884 area, and the July's at basically $9, there's only about a 16-cent carry from November out to July. So we kind of like moving some of these beans here and doing some cash replacements and have ownership that way. There's some strategies you can incorporate where the market does go down. You don't have a whole lot of downside risk. But you can sell your cash beans, replace them on the board. Market goes up, try to recoup a little bit to the upside here on maybe some South American concerns.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. I do appreciate your expertise.
Okay, take care, Todd. Thanks.
You too. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. In today's agricultural news, negotiators from 11 nations have come to agreement on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP. It's supposed to provide a more level playing field in trade for American farmers, says the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture. The agreement would eliminate or significantly reduce tariffs on U.S. products and deter non-science-based sanitary and phytosanitary barriers. The countries in the Trans-Pacific Partnership currently account for about 42% of all U.S. agricultural exports, totaling some $633 billion. The agreement is likely to expand U.S. exports of meat, poultry, fruit, vegetables, grains, oilseeds, cotton, and dairy products. Dairy, by the way, was one of the stumbling blocks negotiators had to work through in Atlanta over the weekend to bring the negotiations to a successful conclusion. General Manager of Farm First Dairy Cooperative, David Cooper from Wisconsin, says dairy farmers still have concerns with the trade pact. He says if the trade deal does not give the dairy industry what it needs, the industry will not support a potential agreement. He says New Zealand wants more access to the United States, and the U.S. wants more access to Japan and Canada.
Right now, both of those countries, Japan has always been a country that supported their farmers, and they've grown and they've done very well. They're very reluctant to give up the support and the protectionism that they've had. Obviously, in Canada, there's a quota system, and there's a lot of concern how that would impact their dairy farmers. We can understand where they're coming from. They certainly have to understand where we're coming from.
By the way, the 11 countries of the TPP include Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, and Vietnam. TPP is viewed as an upgrade of the North American Free Trade Agreement between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. It must still be approved by the U.S. Congress and other national governments. The trade agreement makes it easier for money and goods to flow across national borders while setting common guidelines for labor relations and environmental impacts. Elsewhere in Washington, D.C., on the national policy front, House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, a California Republican who's likely to succeed the outgoing House Speaker John Boehner, said Friday, "We're going to get the highway bill done." McCarthy says the House will consider a transportation bill this month. The current surface transportation authorization expires at the end of October, meaning the House has limited time to tackle a bill. The Senate in June passed a six-year bill known as the DRIVE Act. However, the Senate bill only included enough funding to pay for 3 years of programs, according to the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials. McCarthy pledged a six-year transportation funding bill that would not increase the federal gas tax. His comments come as Representative Paul Ryan, chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, urged Transportation Committee members to pass a highway funding bill on to the full chamber. And finally today, we'll come back home to the state of Illinois, where Deere & Company announced it has reached a tentative agreement with UAW to replace the 6-year master labor contract that expired September the 30th. The tentative agreement is for 6 years and will be presented to the members for a ratification vote. Other terms of the agreement will not be made public. The UAW represents about 10,000 Deere manufacturing employees at 12 factories in Iowa, Illinois, and Kansas. UAW and company leaders announced the start of negotiations at the beginning of September. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Two items to remind you about. First, starting tomorrow, we'll begin our fund drive for the fall pledge period. Get yourself geared up. I won't hit you too hard, but I do expect that many of you will be pledging financial support to the radio station that brings you agricultural programming. We are, after all, public radio and funded in part by you, our listeners. Secondly, one of the things we like to do for you is to put together really good conferences. Our Ag Outlook panels in the evening are one of those smaller events coming up in the month of November, a really big one in Normal, Illinois. The Farm Assets Conference, we'll tell you more about it next week. But put it on your calendar right now, just $30 for the cost of this one in Normal. It's a day-long event on the 24th day of the month. That's the Tuesday just prior to Thanksgiving. Put it on your calendar. That's the Farm Assets Conference. More about that next week. Friday, the United States Department of Agriculture will release its monthly balance sheet for soybeans. It'll tally how many soybeans are expected to be on hand in the United States this year, how those will be used, and what will be left over. This report may differ substantially from its September counterpart. However, the end result may be nearly the same. The report is called the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, or WASDE for short. We'll deal only with the soybean portion of the report. Think of it in the same way you might consider your bank statement. There are incoming statements like the current balance, money from your salary. We'll call that the fall soybean harvest. And maybe money from a loan. Let's call that soybeans imported from other countries. You add those all up and you get a total available supply of money, soybeans. Then you start subtracting how that's consumed, how much you pay for your house, your car, your food, or how many soybeans are exported out of the country, crushed for vegetable oil and fed as soybean meal. In this case, USDA does it for the whole year. How much will there be and how much will be used? The agency will make its next projection at 11 a.m. Central Time this Friday. Here are some of the things that might change. On the supply side, the forecast of planted and harvested acreage of soybeans in the October report will reflect any new information coming from the National Agricultural Statistics Service Crop Production Survey, as well as administrative data, primarily from the Farm Service Agency. On these two points, University of Illinois agricultural economist Darrell Good thinks acreage could drop, but that yield could go up. Sum those two changes with a smaller ending stocks figure, what was left over from last year, and Good says you still aren't likely to see a dramatic departure in the final what's left figure for the new marketing year.
The upcoming USDA projections are not expected to alter expectations for abundant year-ending stocks of soybeans. Those stocks were projected at 450 million bushels last month, and the projection is expected to be near that level in the October report.
By the way, last year at this time, USDA projected marketing year ending stocks at 475 million bushels. The actual number ended up being 191 million bushels. That was just released. Good says not to expect a repeat performance. Here's how he lays out the production and consumption table.
Smaller beginning stocks and a smaller forecast of harvested acreage would reduce the projected supply of soybeans for the current marketing year, while a higher yield forecast would increase the supply forecast. Our expectation is that the net result will be a larger projection of marketing year supplies than forecast last month. The projection for the crush during the current marketing year could be increased modestly from the September projection. Without much new information about the likely size of the 2016 South American soybean harvest, expectations for the marketing year export projection will likely reflect recent export sales activity. Still, export commitments are running well behind those of last year, suggesting that the September projection of 1.725 billion bushels will not be increased in the October report.
Again, here's the list of changes. Acreage lowered, yield increased, beginning stocks lowered, usage stable. And the result? Little overall change in the soybean supply and demand estimate, ending stocks figure of 450 million bushels. Let's check the cash grain market at this hour for a Monday afternoon. We're joined by Greg Johnson. He's from the Andersons, from right here in Champaign County. I bet you were busy over the weekend there at the elevator and doing lots of paperwork today, weren't you?
It was. It was a busy weekend, and the weather looks good, so it looks like we'll have a nice wide-open week this week as well.
Now, how's soybean harvest in the area going?
We think we're probably 65% done, two-thirds done right in this area. Some people are going to be getting done by Wednesday. Others are, there's a few that are actually already done, but I'd say in general, we're probably two-thirds done with beans.
And corn harvest?
Probably a third in this area. Some people are a little bit further along. Some are half done, but for the most part, I'd say a third to 40% probably.
It appears basis, at least for corn, has been fairly strong as we move through the beginning of the harvest season. What do you see there?
Yeah, we've seen extremely good basis levels for both corn and soybeans. The processors are paying small overs, which in the fall, usually that's when they're at their cheapest. I was just looking last year at this time, the processors were 20 under December for corn and 15 under November for beans. This year, the processors are 5 to 10 over on corn and 5 over on beans. So even with the bigger or as big a bean crop or a bigger bean crop, it's kind of surprising that the bean basis is as strong as it is. The corn, I guess you could argue that here in the eastern corn belt from the Illinois-Indiana border on east, the yields aren't that good, so you would expect basis to be better. But the bean basis is extremely strong considering the kind of yields we're seeing.
Any reasoning behind it, do you suppose? Can you come up with a good fundamental reason at all?
I think farmers have four... farmers have $4 cash and $9 cash beans in their sights, and they're just not willing to let loose of it yet until they see those prices. And we're getting closer, but until we get to those prices or until they need the money, it just feels like they're willing to wait it out.
All right, I'll turn your mic down for just a second. So when you consider all of this, what do you tell producers, Greg, about storing the crop in particular? And it doesn't matter, I suppose, whether it's corn or soybeans or whether they should sell and repurchase on paper or do something else.
Yeah, there's like a 20-cent cash carry in the corn market, so there's a little bit more incentive for farmers to store corn, especially if they have their own storage. They can gain that 20 cents, and if they have it in the elevator, the basis improvement covers their cost of storage. So if they're friendly the price on the futures, the market is basically telling them to hold on to corn more so than beans. Beans are going to be a struggle just because there's very little carry in the market. So unless we see something from the USDA report this Friday or weather issues down in South America, something like that, it's going to be a struggle for soybeans to capture more than the cost of the storage, but not so in corn. And so I think more farmers are probably more willing to hold on to corn and see if we can get a rally in corn.
Thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Back with the weather forecast and 2 minutes.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Apple Betty Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1902, Ray Kroc was born in Oak Park, Illinois. Kroc sold blenders for milkshakes, and one of his customers was a restaurant in San Bernardino, California, owned by Maurice and Richard McDonald. Kroc set up a chain of drive-in restaurants based on their efficient assembly line production kitchen. He opened the first restaurant on April 15th, 1955 in Des Plaines, Illinois. By 1961, he had 228 restaurants, and he bought out the McDonald brothers. When he died in 1984, there were over 7,500 McDonald's restaurants. In 1983, Earl Tupper died, an American inventor. His research led to Tupperware. First, he developed a method for purifying black polyethylene slag, a waste product produced in oil refinement, into a substance that was flexible, tough, non-porous, non-greasy, and translucent. And second, he developed the Tupper Seal, an airtight, watertight lid modeled on the lid for paint containers. And in 2007, 1 week after recalling almost 22 million pounds of ground beef products, Tops Meat Company announced that it was going out of business. Tops had to recall the meat after samples tested positive for E. coli bacteria. Tops was one of the country's largest manufacturers of frozen hamburgers. And that's this day in agricultural history.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. Time to check the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here. He's with Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. Mark, thanks for being with us. Let's start not here in the Midwest because the weather looks pretty clear and farmers will be in the field, no doubt. But in other parts of the world, can you take us through some of the places you've been watching that are either in trouble or potentially have trouble brewing?
Well, thanks, Todd. At the present time, we're beginning to be more concerned with the lack of rainfall across areas of Mato Grosso, Brazil. Those areas back about a month ago did see some pre-season rain activity, but it's really late September, October, which is normally the onset of their rainy season, where they begin to see more frequent kind of daily shower and thunderstorm activity, and that has not occurred over the past several weeks. And we see that pattern continuing over the next couple of weeks. And at this time of year, when it's on the dry side, temperatures are very hot, with high temperatures climbing into the upper 90s, lower 100s. So this warm, dry pattern across Mato Grosso, the longevity of it is certainly something to monitor. And the longer it goes, the more concerned there will be for further delays in planting progress of summer crops. Now, while Mato Grosso is on the dry side, southern Brazil is seeing the opposite issue with very heavy rain activity, frequent rain activity. They've had wetness issues, especially for winter wheat, but it's beginning to delay some summer crop planting, and so that's another item of note in South America.
In Mato Grosso, do you have an idea what the forecast looks like for the next 5 to 10 days?
Yeah, just very spotty shower activity, primarily in the western part of the state, and that's outside the main soybean areas, which are concentrated in the central and southeastern parts of Mato Grosso.
This would not be the only place around the planet that has been suffering dry conditions. If you could take us elsewhere in the southern hemisphere, maybe check out on the Australian wheat crop, please.
Yeah, Australia winter wheat is in the process of spring growth, and numerous areas are already going into the grain filling stage. And the past 30 days has been quite dry across both western and eastern Australia, so encompassing the vast majority of the winter wheat belt. And that looks to continue here as we go into the middle part of October. And along with that will be hotter than normal conditions as well. So also, the longer that pattern persists, the more potential for yield declines on account of this hot, dry weather during spring development time frame.
And if I remember correctly, parts of Eastern Europe, Ukraine, Russia, maybe were suffering dry conditions as they were putting winter wheat into the ground.
Yeah, and we see no sign of that changing, so no sign of any improvement in the overall situation across the Ukraine and Russia winter wheat acreage. Also of note, that region is going to be turning colder than normal starting the second half of this week, continuing on the next week as well, and so that's going to cool down soil temperatures and really begin to shorten this potential window of planting, which is beginning to come to an end.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. I do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much, Todd.
Mark Russo is with EarthRisk Technologies. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always look us up online. Listen to our programming anytime you'd like. Try it on the Bluetooth in your combine or tractor or truck cab. We do appreciate you being out in the harvest season. Be careful and, you know, take a nap in the afternoon. It'll help out as you work really hard today.